The second reading is from the first book, or the first chapter of Matthew, right at the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus.
Well, 2 days. 2 days until Christmas is upon us. 2 days, if you're like me, till the marathon of shopping is over and the marathon of eating begins. But that's not what Christmas is about, is it? Christians, and even I think non-Christians, will have heard the reason for the season is Jesus. And so in amongst all the ups and actually sometimes downs of Christmas time, we want to say it matters. It matters not for the presents or the food or the family time, but Christmas matters as we remember the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, before Christmas actually arrives in a couple of days, I want us to look at the Bible and what it has to say happened just before the arrival of the Christ. And then after Christmas, we'll see not before the Christ, but the Christ is before all. And today, as we look at the lead up to Jesus' death, I want to ask you, how important, if at all, are the details of Jesus' birth to you? I mean, we don't just get a very quick run through of, yeah, Jesus was born and then he grew up and then he did X, Y, and Z. No, we have a description of the lead up before the Christ. We see the significance of his birth, the anticipation of his birth. We get an account of not just how it happened, but who he is. Well, friends, my hope is that as we look at the Word of God about the birth of Jesus, our view of Christmas, and in fact, our view of God's goodness to us, will be enriched. Well, Matthew 1 is where we're headed today. So if you didn't open up your Bibles before, or if you've closed them, grab it open to Matthew 1. And we're going to see what is, in many ways, on the surface, a scandalous Christmas story. We're going to see, also on top of that, the significance of who Jesus is. And we're going to see two names that help us to do that: Jesus and Emmanuel. But before we do that, how about we ask God for some help and let's pray. Lord, we ask that you will help us today as we look back on a familiar story to see your word with renewed vigor and enriched understanding. Help us to see who Jesus is and what you have done for your people as we look at this passage this morning. Amen. Well, this Christmas story isn't actually one I think we expect. Perhaps when you think of Christmas, you think of a very wholesome, sanitized nativity scene. You think of food and family coming together. But instead, the Christmas story we're looking at today is wrapped in scandal. A family almost torn apart, with Joseph planning to break off their engagement because Mary's pregnant. Now, they're not even married yet. Not only do you have Mary pregnant out of wedlock, but her fiancé Joseph knows that it's not his son because, well, they've been waiting for marriage. I mean, what would you do if you were in Joseph's position? You've been working hard at keeping God's commandments about purity, and then suddenly you find your wife pregnant. Well, this story is the story that precedes Jesus' birth. It is a surprising, a scandalous story that we don't expect to lead us into the Son of God being born. And yet, this child we see is not only welcome, but he will be special. Special beyond any other child. An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream to tell us just how special he will be. Read it in verse 20 with me. "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Don't call off the wedding. Don't be afraid, because despite what the circumstances scream at you, Mary has been faithful. This child is special, as any child is, but more so for this child, for the only time in the history of creation, is conceived by the Holy Spirit. That is, it is a miraculous birth. Mary at this point, now not necessarily forever, in fact it says they hadn't consummated their marriage yet, pretty much, so it doesn't last forever, but Mary is still a virgin. But more amazingly than this amazing, miraculous birth, is what this child will do. And you see it in his two names. Jesus, or actually, if we're being correct, Yeshua. We've just changed it for our sake in English. And Emmanuel. Right, he's born of a virgin. Born that he might save his people from their sins. And so, verse 21, he must be named Jesus. Yeshua, meaning God saves. But Jesus is not his only name. It's amazing how many names Jesus is given in the Bible. This year, for something different, rather than chocolates in our Advent calendar, I figured I don't need any more of those. We've got like this bunting and 24 cards on our bunting. And each card has a different name for Jesus. And one of them, on the 8th of December, is Emmanuel. Now, it means God with us. The child must be named God with us. Now, I know, in general, we don't put much meaning, importance on the meaning of names. Personally, my last name means little brother of the king. My middle name means good king. And my first name means honoring God. They don't really fit together. You can't really be the little brother of the king, and then honoring the true king, who is really the good king. But Jesus, his names were significant. The names Emmanuel and Jesus told us who Jesus was born to be. Now, actually, this is the only time Jesus is called Emmanuel. But it's a loaded term, embedded with meaning and anticipation. See, ages before Jesus was born, there was a king called Ahaz. Actually, just a couple of chapters before what Dennis read for us. See, we see him in Isaiah 7, and Ahaz is not a good king. We've met a few not-so-great kings of God's people this year, as we've looked at 1 Samuel. And he's sort of similar to Saul. He lacks trust in God. And just like anyone who doesn't trust God, when the going gets tough, he doesn't obey God. And so we have King Ahaz, up to his ears with Assyrian armies who want to take his land, take his people, and God makes him a promise. All the way back in Isaiah 7, that is finally fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. God is coming. You have enemies. They attack and seemingly overwhelm you. But God is coming. He will be with us. He will save us. Isaiah 7:14, and then quoted in Matthew 1:23, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. And so, as we look forward to the birth of Jesus, what do we see? Well, we see that fulfillment of Isaiah 7, where God promises disobedient Ahaz a sign of salvation in the birth of this child. The fact that Jesus is now labeled as Emmanuel, this child, the child of a virgin, is actually really important for us to understand why Christmas matters. Christmas matters not just for the fun, happy times. Or maybe if you're religious, perhaps you mix in a real, yet rather vague appreciation of Jesus being born, because you know his death matters. But no, the birth of Jesus matters. Emmanuel matters. Because it means God with us, amongst us, close to us. See, Jesus in very nature God became man. Was born, he crawled around, he ate, he died. God with us. This child whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, he is called Emmanuel. But of course, God's presence can have two very, very, very different outcomes. I mean, it's either incredibly wonderful news or terribly bad news. It's either salvation or condemnation. God being with us can mean salvation. Of course it can. I mean, he is our all-powerful God. He cares about us. I mean, this is why we pray to him. And time again, we see it throughout Scripture. Just to name a few, Zephaniah 3. The Lord is with you. You need no longer fear harm. Or maybe a bit more well known, Psalm 23. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's presence, God being with us, can be a source of strength and comfort, a deliverance from our enemies. But then on the other hand, throughout the Bible you see what it looks like for rebellious, impure and sinful people to come in contact with their all-powerful God. Whether it's people dropping dead at the sight of God, or the wholesale judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, or God speaking to his rebellious people in Amos, saying, prepare to meet your God, because you've neither listened nor obeyed him. Sinful, rebellious people coming into God's presence is not a happy situation. I mean, think about it like this. You know, You probably sit at home watching TV, you see the people on the telly, and it's so easy to criticize. You know, you've got your politicians, your musicians, your sports people, and you go, oh, you know, they've made this blunder, or this person's put on some weight, or, you know, they're just not as good as they used to be. And you gloat over their failures, and you know there's no real consequence because you don't know them. But it's a bit different when they're in the room. I mean, when someone is in your presence, you bear the consequences of opposing them. And the greater the greater the authority, the greater the consequences. I mean, it's one thing to rib your mate and have a go at them for their shortcomings. But if the Prime Minister was here, how openly would you criticize them? I mean, you might, but you'd be bearing those consequences willingly. Well, God is in the room, so to speak. He knows each bit of your rebellion. As Amos 4:13 says, He is here, the one who forms the mountains, creates the wind, and reveals his thoughts to man, the one who makes the dawn out of darkness and strides on the heights of the earth. The Lord, the God of armies, is his name. This God is with us. The highest power, ruler of armies, creator of mountains, sovereign over light and dark, heights and depths, is with us. For those who oppose him, reject him, his presence is terrifying. For those who follow him, his presence is salvation. So when we read in Matthew 1 that Jesus being born is God with us, which will it be? Is this nativity story actually good news? Well, the answer is found in the second name of this child. He's to be called Jesus. Look at it there in Matthew 1. He is called the Lord will save. Now, does that give you a hint as to what the presence of God will mean for God's people? Add to it, if you like, John 3, verse 17, not 16. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Through Jesus, God with us, we receive not condemnation, but salvation. Back in Isaiah, the threat was Assyria. But for us, there's no Assyria. It's sin itself. It's the wages of sin, death. But although the enemy is great, fear not, for God is with us. Accept Jesus. I mean, you don't want to reject the Almighty God who is with us. God is with us. But will he find you with him or against him? Accept Jesus this Christmas and you will be saved. Those you share this message with, if they accept it, they will be saved. Now, maybe you've come along to church for the longest of time. Some of you have been coming here longer than I have been alive. But maybe you come for the wrong reasons. Maybe it's social reasons. Maybe it's family or cultural reasons. Maybe you still need to accept Jesus, God with us, as your Savior to save you from sin. Or maybe you have, right? Maybe you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, but you forget daily that God is with you. If God is with us, then are there not going to be real consequences for our lives? He is not distant. We can speak to him. We can rely on him. We can be comforted by his promises. God has come. And yes, he has come to have relationship with us. Yes, he has come to save us. But we can't then just say, thanks very much, God, and then act like he's not there. God's salvation of his people comes as a result of his presence, of God being with us in the birth of Jesus. Jesus, who would save us from our sins. So stop deceiving yourself. Stop acting like God isn't there. Are you taking his gifts of eternal life, of relationship and forgiveness, but then actually shutting God out of your life? Taking the gifts of God, but then having an open relationship with God where anything and everything can snatch your heart away. There's nothing casual when it comes to our salvation. I know personally, I do not want God to have an apathetic or kind of removed, divided loyalty when it comes to holding me in his hand and bringing me home. In the face of my sin, I am totally hopeless. In the face of your sin, you are totally hopeless. When it comes to judgment, we know nothing but perfection is good enough. And that means we know we need God. I need to know at that point that God is with me. So why do we act like it's not important for God to be with us right now? Well, as we look forward to Christmas and look back on the anticipation of God being with his people, the Savior Jesus Christ being born, and the defeat of the ultimate enemy, the sin that condemns us, turn back to God. Rejoice. Rejoice because the Savior of the world has come. Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, has come so that God would be with his people, fighting for them, saving them from their peril. And know that your all-powerful God, your ruler who loves you, is with you to the end of this age. So do not reject him or ignore him. Let's pray. Lord God, where our hearts might wander, turn them back to you. Remind us of your presence this Christmas, that you are with us. Give us a firm trust in your promises and an obedience to your will, our God and Savior who is with us. Amen.
Well, how about we spend about 30 seconds just thinking about what it means for our lives, for God to be with us, both now and at Christmas time, but also as you make plans for next year and all of the things that will come before us. So spend a little time just thinking about what it will mean for you that God is with us.